I believe that for every individual, there is no more important question than this, presented by my good friend and colleague, Pastor Lance Ralston.
I have a most important question to ask you. Maybe it's the most important. But before I ask it, I want to share this. I have a friend and mentor whose name is Larry. He's an organizational and leadership genius who's helped me immensely over the years. Some time ago, when we met for a mentoring session, Larry began with a simple question. So, how are you doing? I took it for the typical opening that we use when we meet someone. The expected reply is something short, like, you know, fine, good, maybe could be better. That morning, I was doing well, and so I said, I'm good, Larry, how are you? Rather than reply to my question, he followed up on his by asking, how do you know? And I realized that the mentoring had already begun. Larry had an important truth to impart, and I needed to pay attention. How you're doing is not the question that I want to ask you today. I'll get to the most important question in a minute, but I need to preface it with this. Knowing how we're doing is important, but what criteria do we use in that evaluation? How do we know how we're doing? Is our evaluation subjective or objective? Is it based just on how we're feeling emotionally at that moment? Or is it based on the facts of our condition? Maybe the health of our bodies or the health of our relationships, our finances? Okay, here's the most important question. Are you going to heaven? Specifically, are you going to the heaven that's described in the Bible? And I guess what I really mean is, are you in a right relationship with God so that when you die, you know that you have eternal life? Now, many would confidently and without hesitation say yes. Others might reply, well, I hope so. To those with a confident yes, I want to ask, how do you know that you're going to heaven? What does entering heaven require? Or how can you be in right relationship with God? Now, many people think that they're going to go to heaven when they die because they're a good person. I know because I've asked. They assume that heaven is where good people go, while hell, if it even exists, is where bad people go. But when you try to nail down what constitutes a good and bad person, there's no agreement. There's no consensus. Let's be clear. Heaven isn't just some place that God happens to also be. Heaven is heaven because God is there. The glory and the bliss that heaven contain is all due to God's manifest presence. Entrance to heaven is dependent on what He requires, and what He requires is faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we want to keep this simple, so let me share some verses that spell it all out. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we find, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned and comes short of what God requires. No one is exempt. The consequence of that is found in Romans 6:23, where we read, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our sin earns death, not just physical death, but spiritual death as well. That's what hell is, eternal separation from God, who is the author and the source of life. While our sin earns death, God has chosen to bestow something unearned, a gift. That gift is eternal life in Jesus Christ. A key word there in Romans chapter 6, verse 23 is the word but. While sin earns death, God's gift erases and replaces what's earned with life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, we find this. As many as received Him, meaning Jesus, to them He gave, you see, it's a gift, the right to become the children of God to those who believe in His name. We receive the gift that God offers by believing in Christ, that what He did through the cross pays for the debt our sins cause. But Jesus didn't just die. He also rose from the dead. The resurrection is proof that Jesus' death did pay for our sins. Had He not risen, it would mean that He was still paying for our sins. That He rose proves our sins have been fully paid for. By trusting in Christ, the gift God offers becomes ours. An important passage on this is found in Ephesians chapter 2, where in verses 8 and 9 we find this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Salvation is a gift that is received by faith in Christ. It's not a reward for good works, being a good person. Finally, in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, it isn't just saying words that saves us. Salvation isn't obtained by reciting a formula of just right words. For Paul and those that he wrote to confess with the mouth meant to speak out one's internal convictions. There was an alignment between what one said and what one truly believed. That didn't end with words. It was lived out in all of one's choices. Salvation, eternal life, heaven, is for those whose sins have been forgiven because they trust in Christ and have found new life in him. Now, if as I've shared this, you realize that you need to put your faith in Jesus, I want to invite you to pray with me. Because of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10 that we just looked at, pray your own prayer, or if you find it helpful, pray out loud after me. Dear God, thank you for loving me, for sending Jesus to save me. I admit that I'm a sinner, cannot save myself. I need you to save me. I believe Jesus died for my sins, for all of them, even the ones that I haven't committed yet. I believe Jesus bore my guilt on the cross, and that when he rose from the dead, sin and death were defeated. I ask that you would give me the grace and faith to enter into all that Christ came to bestow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you genuinely believe that, you've been born again and can rejoice in a new life in Christ. And just as there are certain things that you need to do to sustain the life and health of your physical body, there are things to sustain your spiritual health and life as well. Number one, read the Bible. It really is God's word. It's the key to your spiritual growth. Second, pray. Now, prayer is simply talking with God. So talk to him as you would anyone that you respect, trust, and know is able to do for you what needs and ought to be done. Take some time to be silent in prayer as well, opening some space for God to speak to you. Now, I have to say, it's difficult explaining this because it's different for different people. God is unlikely to speak in sounds that you hear with your ears, but you will hear him here in your spirit. And this is where reading the Bible and prayer line up with each other. You can always evaluate what you think God is saying by whether or not it aligns with his word. God would never say something that contradicts or goes against either what his word says explicitly or in principle. Third, find a good church and get involved. Now, a good church is one that teaches the Bible and strives to walk in a balance of both grace and truth. The advice that I've given many times over the years is this: find a church where after prayer you feel at home, that it's the place that you belong. Now, don't overthink it. Trust that God's Spirit will confirm you are where he wants you when it feels like home. Lacking that, it's probably evidence that's not where you're supposed to be. Fourth, and this one really goes along with number three, get involved. Don't just attend church services. Meet people. Begin to build relationships there. If they have classes or small groups, go. Get to know people and let them get to know you. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's a team event. God's planned it so that we grow together. Now, there's a lot more that I can mention. But we want to keep it simple as you get started. Bible, prayer, and church. Last, you're going to find many resources on the Enduring Word site and here on our YouTube channel to help you in your spiritual journey. From all of us here at Enduring Word, may God bless you.